And welcome to Reflections in the Dark here on Firefall Talk Radio. Reflections in the Dark, the home of SRT, the Supernatural Response Team. We have been exposing the worthless deeds of evil and darkness since July 2007 as a team, and on Reflections in the Dark since May 2010. Broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio, the only place you can hear us live is on Spreaker.com. You can archive, listen, and download here, as well as Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. So welcome to all of those listeners. Wednesday night, 7 p.m., we do The Porch, a unfiltered, non-watered-down look at the Bible, the Book of Acts Church. Sometimes we tie the two shows together. Lately, they have been running parallel. If you'd like to support what we do here on Firefall, The Porch, or SRT, go to supernaturalresponse.net, firefalltalkradio.com, and you can find ways to support us. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/supernaturalresponseteam. We're also on Twitter, SRT612, also at Firefall Talk, and on Instagram, it's at Supernatural Response. Star Wars opened this weekend. Star Wars The Last Jedi, it's already topped $230 million on mixed reviews. The reviews are not real good, so go at your own risk. But aliens and UFOs are back in the news. I don't know if you've seen it, but Creation Ministries International has taken the Gary Bates book, Alien Intrusion, Unmasking a Deception, and turned it into a documentary narrated by actor John Schneider, addressing the UFO alien phenomenon from a biblical perspective. It's in theaters January 11th for a special one-night event. Before we get to that news, we're going to bring back Nathan Zieber to give us an update on what's going on in the UFO world. So, Nathan, welcome back.
Hey, Richard. Thanks for having me.
So, you sent me a thing this week that was really interesting, but there was a recent multi-state event that got the attention of MUFON.
Yeah, this might be North America's largest mass UFO sighting, even bigger than the Phoenix Lights. But it's interesting. It's been all quiet on the media front in terms of that sighting. When a bunch of our investigators from the states reach out to the military and to the United States Air Force, they said it was military exercise. But basically, the sighting went from South Carolina all the way up to Montana, through eight different states, and there have been hundreds of sightings that have been reported since then. MUFON USA wanted MUFON Canada to check to see if it went into Canada at all, because that would disprove the Air Force theory, because the Air Force wouldn't be entering in Canadian airspace. But nothing's been sighted in Canada, and we're really not sure what it is.
That's really interesting. I mean, they immediately said it was a military exercise, and maybe it was, but that's a pretty substantial exercise.
Yeah, and it's not your typical maneuverings you'd see with the Air Force. These were giant red orbs, very similar to the Phoenix Lights. The span was of four or five different football fields, from what witnesses indicated. So it was really nothing like the Air Force has.
Or at least they're admitting to, anyway.
Yeah.
Because I've been, you know, some of the research I did today as I prepared for this, a lot of the stuff that they're working on, even now, a couple of things are some hypersonic planes that Lockheed Martin is doing kind of covertly, not out in the open, that they're waiting for, that they think are going to make it into the military. But what's the MUFON position on this? Are they just taking a non-committed, or are they questioning the validity of the military's response?
MUFON doesn't. Now, I should say this is my personal opinion, but from my experience with the MUFON investigators I've worked with, the chief investigators of different provinces and states and provincial directors, nobody seems to believe the government about anything UFO related anymore. Because there's been no recognition, even after we've brought forward our best evidence. We've brought forward hundreds of thousands of different witness testimonies that have been vetted thoroughly, and there's been no budging, no helpful hints. But there's the occasional leak that happens with UFO investigators, where they'll be given some information regarding UFOs, different things like that. But There's a general distrust of the government and UFOs with MUFON.
As well, there should be. You know, some of the research I've done, which goes back to the 40s, at least the American authorities tend to, I don't want to say lie, but they tend to manipulate the data, whereas over in Europe, UK, China, Russia, those places are a lot more open about it.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, you have people like Elon Musk who have been working on SpaceX, and they're working on commercialized space projects, right? And anything that makes its way down to the private sector, the commercial sector, means it's been in the government's hands for a number of years, right? We've talked about how it only took 60 years between the Wright brothers and the first space shuttle to go to the moon. And, I mean, where have we gone since then? It's impossible we haven't moved forward in any way.
Well, if you remember when the space shuttle used to go up with secret payloads, they never told us what they were doing, and they were possibly weaponized satellites. Nobody really knows, but who knows what they've been working on. Now, apparently, Trump's sending NASA back to the moon. It's interesting timing that in the midst of all of this explosion about UFOs and extraterrestrial life, we're now going back to the moon.
Yeah, and I think media has really helped prepare culture for that and whatever we may find. I mean, you have Transformers, the mega blockbuster that had the Decepticons or the evil giants coming from the dark side of the moon. You have, what was the other one I was just thinking of? You got all these major, Avengers, where the portals are peering over the cities. You've got all these major blockbusters kind of cushioning people for some type of reveal.
There was one that came out a couple of years ago. It was pretty bad. I think it was called Skyline. Now they're doing a sequel to it that they got a lot more money, called Beyond Skyline. So it's just like, I get it. It sells. People are interested. You see, it doesn't matter how good or bad they are, people go. But when you do the research, like I did today, and we've talked about it on the show before, and we talked about it before we came on, back in the 40s and the 50s, supposedly, there was that Majestic 12. It was set up by Eisenhower, 12 different experts who came together, Truman, formed in 47, came together to facilitate the investigation, possible recovery of a spacecraft on the Roswell events. I went to the National Archives. They deny that it ever existed. There is no mention of Majestic 12 or MJ-12 in any document anywhere. So the FBI is labeling the MJ-12 a hoax. Matter of fact, the National Archives can't even locate any documentation in the Project Blue Book records, which MJ-12 is a part of, about the Roswell event. So somebody has fudged the paperwork somewhere.
Yeah, and it's interesting that that's only really started happening in the last 2 or 3 years. You have the Guy Hotel report, which is on the FBI website still, which is this FBI agent who first responded to a UFO crash in Roswell, New Mexico, where he talks about these two 3-foot tall beings that are human-like in appearance, but are different biologically speaking. And there's nothing that really goes on with that report, but the MJ-12 reports are on there, but they're all labeled as bogus now. Whereas a few years ago, I don't remember if it was the Nellis base. I wish I had the document in front of me. I lent it to a friend, but I ordered the MJ-12 report from the Disclosure Archives in the States, the Historical Archives, and I was sent a letter from the USAF with the documents saying that they had redacted certain parts of the report, and it was the exact same report you can find on the FBI website today, but it doesn't have the word bogus written all over it like you'll find on the FBI website.
Well, why would somebody redact a bogus report?
Yeah, why would they continue to keep it on the website if it's all bogus? It doesn't make any sense.
One of the articles I read about that was, too many people had it. It had gotten out on the internet. So then they went back and said, well, this is a hoax, and that FBI guy was a hoax. But my problem with that is this. How did it get into the National Archives if it's a hoax?
Yeah.
That just seems a bit bogus to me. So there was something about that event and the MJ-12 group, if there was one. I'll just give them the benefit of the doubt, even though I believe that there was. The FBI says that because of movies and Hollywood and TV like X-Files, it's taken on a life of its own, but they have no documentation to prove it. Well, after the last couple of weeks, the last couple of months of seeing what the FBI is capable of, I'm not so sure I would trust anything they had to say anymore.
No, I agree. And you even have, these huge politicians who are trying to push the way for disclosure, too. You have the former Defense Minister of Canada, Paul Hellier, who talks about how government organizations, when they start getting a lot of power in these dark sectors, they'll go private because they're no longer held accountable to the government standards. There's a lot less exposure and different things like that.
Well, when you're dealing with that kind of money, especially now on the internet, digital media, anybody can find out anything. For them to pull off whatever it is they're doing, if they're doing something covert, but we talked about this a little bit, and we'll touch on it. It came out that the government, the Defense Department, had their own program, their covert program, to investigate UFOs. Democratic Senate Majority, former Democratic Senator, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid had secretly set up a Defense Department program in 2007. Well, it depends on who you listen to. New York Times says 2007. The website Politico says 2009. But it was $22 million. And the reason nobody knows anything about it, it wasn't classified. He was just funneling it through a friend and financial supporter, Robert Bigelow, who used his research company and Bigelow Aerospace to do the investigation. So we know that there are politicians who have access to money and to power that are interested in this topic, yet they really don't want to be open and transparent about it.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because this program, it was called the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, only focused on military UFO sightings and commercial aircraft UFO sightings. So they apparently had enough military and commercial aircraft sightings that they could spend $22 million funding a budget to investigate these. And yeah, it really is a story that's breaking. New York Times is doing it, New York Post, and like you said, Politico as well.
Yeah, and the timing of it is very suspect. But when you look into Robert Bigelow, 72-year-old billionaire who owns Bigelow Aerospace, who's a UFO believer, his whole company is based on that. He modified buildings in his Las Vegas complex to store. Now get ready for this. You don't spend money to modify buildings to store metal alloys and other materials that have been recovered from unidentified aerial phenomena. You don't retrofit buildings and spend that kind of money unless you know that you're storing something.
Oh, for sure. And you have other people like Stephen Greer. Now, Stephen Greer comes from the really New Age movement of UFO beliefs, but he's met with dozens and dozens of huge politicians, business owners, and everybody who have spent millions and millions and millions of dollars on recovering implants that are made of meteorite compounds. And like you said, even alloys that come from crashed UFOs or pieces of UFOs flying off.
Well, according to what the New York Times said, and Politico said it as well, those are the two main sources, right, and everybody else is repeating their stories. They have also studied and met with people that have experienced the physical effects of encounters with either the objects or, they don't mention beings, they say other things, and have examined them for physiological changes. Okay, $22 million, that's not going to last very long. So I'm believing that Bigelow put in his own money and there was other money somewhere. But they also spoke to and interviewed military service members who had reported the sighting of these strange aircrafts. That you know, and they did this, supposedly it ended in 2012, but it didn't really end because it's still going on. Somebody else took it over. So there's no freedom of information, private companies, no public access. You can't petition the documents. You can't try to find out what they found. There's no documentation of what they found. But we know that Bigelow is spending this kind of money, and he took the government's money, which, of course, I believe that as a taxpayer in America, I should have the right to know where it went. But they spent that time, that money on something.
Yeah, and I mean, this isn't the first program to exist like this either, but I think, like you said, as more and more exposure is happening, they're having to do more and more to make it look like they're keeping up or they're working on things. And I mean, that is a lot of money just to start, but I bet you there's a lot more deeper down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, what they call it, what's called black money, means beside Harry Reid, the only two other senators I knew about it was Democratic Senator from Hawaii, Daniel Inouye, and former Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, who conveniently both have since died. And they were the only three that knew anything about it. Nobody else in government knew about this $22 million program that most, if not all, went to Bigelow's research company. And he then hired subcontractors to do all the work. But you know, Bigelow said in the New York Times article that quoted him, he said, "Internationally, we are the most backward country in the world on this issue. Our scientists are scared of being ostracized. Our media is scared of the stigma. China and Russia are much more open. They work on this with huge organizations within their countries. Smaller countries like Belgium, France, England, South American countries like Chile are more open. They are proactive and willing to discuss the topic rather than being held back by a juvenile taboo." I don't think it's a taboo. Here's what I think. I think the American government's deeply involved with technology or something, whether they have backward designed what they found in Roswell, whether they are, as some believe, working with alien life forms, whatever the case may be, when I go down that road. I think they're just hiding what they're doing, and they're hiding it under the stigma of this is ridiculous, there is no evidence, there is no proof, and we're not going to answer your questions.
Well, that lines up with, like, there was this disclosure report that the CIA released. I think you even talked about it about a year ago, saying that they came up with the term for conspiracy theorists, right? To discredit what they're saying or to discredit truthers. And I think you're exactly right. They're doing the old cold stone wall of saying this is ridiculous. Nobody's going to take you seriously. You're going to lose your funding. You're going to lose your credibility, yada, yada, yada. And people are afraid to talk about it.
But yet you get these documentaries. I saw Greer's documentary, and he had me for about 75% of it, and then it went off the rails into some at the very end. He lost me because it went off into this thing. I went, oh, really, man? You were doing really good up till then. I'll be curious to see how the creation one. I know what their position's going to be. Obviously, they've spent some money on this documentary. But you see these different attempts to expose what's going on. But the problem is that the people at the top, whether private like Bigelow or the government, they don't have to tell you anything. They don't have to answer your questions. And if they do an interview like Bigelow did in May of this year for 60 Minutes, it's very self-serving. There's no deep, you know, investigative questions. They're all softball questions, and it all makes it look like, you know, all of us that believe that it's more than that are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's so often that journalists will get a call beforehand and they'll get asked which questions they're going to ask, and then they're told, no, you can't ask this one, or he won't answer that one.
Yeah, and, well, you know, I know about Bigelow from when he bought Skinwalker Ranch in Utah.
Right, right.
And supposedly he has sold the rights to it, but he still owns it. It's a very bizarre situation. I got to do some more research because I wanted to go there and then found out that they wouldn't let anybody on there once he took control of it. So this is the man that spends his billions or millions, he's a billionaire. He's not a multi-billionaire, but he's a billionaire on this through his company. And he makes his money. I did not even know this. He owns Budget Suites America, long-stay rental apartments, and he has them in like three or four states, and then he funnels, you know, that those hundreds of millions and then his other investments into doing this. So when you have that, there is no transparency. There is no, hey, we want you guys to know what we're doing, because A, the government's involved, B, money's involved, and C, there's really something going on in the shadows that we're not supposed to know.
Well, I think it's no different with Canada too, right? Like you have Trudeau in power, and I believe Trudeau was elected specifically because he could be a puppet, right? But you have these projects that end up going black, or you have unaccounted for trillions of dollars in the budget. Now, our military budget is very small, and our military itself is very antiquated, but you have the RCMP who've released all these UFO disclosure files, and they're very basic. They've been watered down quite a bit.
Well, and you know, you mentioned something. I want to make sure I get the number right. There was a recent report on the news about the Pentagon losing $6.5 trillion. That
wow.
was last year. No, it's up. I
remember that.
Yeah, I think it's more than that. I think it's more than that. But whatever it is, they have lost trillions of dollars that now Trump and General Mattis are investigating. We know money went into pockets. We know money went into black ops projects. We know that. But when you lose trillions of dollars, you're spending it on something. And if you remember the movie Independence Day, when the president's getting the explosive tour of Area 51, and
the underground base,
you paid for everything, and the Jeff Goldblum's father, played by Judd Hirsch, says, "You don't think they spent $100,000+ on a toilet seat, did you?"
Right.
Well, what they were basically saying is they just double and triple the price of something and funnel that money elsewhere. But when you begin to see what's going on here, and let's circle it back to what you're doing and the research you're doing, when MUFON came along, was MUFON originally a government creation, or was that an independent thing?
It was originally independent. You had NICAP, which was the government-owned one,
right.
But that one became liquidated later on, and MUFON kind of continued.
All right, so when those came along, they were meant to either investigate, validate, or research these events. So how long has MUFON been around now?
50 years, 60 years, I believe.
Okay. So where's the smoking gun? Where's the definitive event that proves everything?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've mentioned this to you before. I do believe that, and I have to be careful saying this, but our numbers do change on our case management system sometimes. Like, you have people that go through, even third-party companies that go through and compile pages and pages and pages and pages of metadata, and then a month later, some of these numbers have been fudged or mixed up or completely deleted altogether.
Yeah, that's why you almost have to, and this is something I do. Whenever I get information, I PDF it and I put it on a flash drive, because you'll go back and it'll either be gone or it will have been updated. And the problem with digital technology
yes.
is it's been updated, it's been changed, and in any investigative effort, whether it's natural or supernatural, usually the original eyewitness accounts are the closest to the truth. The longer a story goes on, the more convoluted and more fudged it becomes.
Absolutely. And when we reach out, we conduct our initial interview, and then we gather evidence. We'll do follow-up interviews, but sometimes they don't make it all the way through the system.
So anything new going on? I mean, it's wintertime, so it's probably not a lot of activity. I don't know how. You know, I've never looked into that. Do UFOs appear in cold weather?
You know, it's actually the opposite, Richard. During the winter, the air is a lot thinner. Well, at least in the north, it's a lot cooler. So UFO sightings are a lot more prominent.
Hmm.
But not only that, but get ready for this. Coming up to winter solstice, December 21st, there's always a huge spike in UFO activity.
That's interesting.
And then it de-escalates after December 21st.
Well, there is something to all that, and I haven't gotten it yet, and I know I've written you, that ties the fault lines, the volcanoes, which give off a charge when they go, to all of these different things, like the solstices. It ties into the electromagnetic frequencies and the static electricity and all of that that's going on. But in one of the reports I read today was that a lot of these sightings are near nuclear factories.
Yeah, and actually, Ben, I think his name is, I'm just looking for the book on the bookshelf now. I think his name is Ben, Ben Mezrick. He's a former Oxford professor, I believe. Anyways, he wrote some of these big blockbusters, including that gambling movie, and he's a former New York Times bestselling author as well, but he wrote a book called The 37th Parallel,
right,
which
right.
talks about all the UFO sightings that coincide with the parallel lines down the United States, the same ones that lined up with those fault lines we discovered this past summer with the solar eclipse, right?
Right.
And it's also really common for MUFON investigators when they go out to these sightings where the witness has actually seen the UFO touch down, for them to find radiated tops of trees. So the tops of trees have been scorched, or there'll be a giant scorch pattern on the ground. So they're very radioactive in nature. And as far as nuclear plants, that's true. And as well as dams, big hyper-powered dams.
All right, they're giving off on a certain electric
like that.
Charge, right, right.
Yeah.
Right, so that would tie into my belief that they're using all of that to power what they do. The interesting thing, maybe we'll find it out someday, maybe we won't, is, you know, what are these things really made of? Are they government black op things that are out there testing, you know, like the... the Black Hawk jets and some of the other covert things that have happened. Some people believe some of the recent sightings are that hypersonic jet that Lockheed Martin has been working on, because it's a particular, and there's another company whose name just went out of my head, it's a particular type of, it almost looks like a drone. It's a humongous aircraft, and it has no moving parts. It flies by moving air through its own vents, so there are no flaps, or there's none of those things. So, but then it becomes back to the whole conversation of, are we backward creating these things from crafts that have been found, like they accused of the Nazis doing? It opens up a whole big discussion here, but I appreciate you coming on. Next time you come on, we'll do another update. I really want to do some research on the fault lines, on where these events take place, because I have found, and this is the first time I'll be sharing this, I have found that all the assignments that SRT has gotten outside of Kansas have been along a specific ley line, along a specific ridge of forest that run from the south to the north, but also along a specific fault line. So it's really interesting that the paranormal activity ties into it as well. But it's always great to talk to you. It's great to have you on, and we'll have you on again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Richard. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right, God bless.
Bye-bye.
It was great that he could come on and help out here. But this thing with Bigelow, Robert Bigelow, you've heard me talk about him. He owns Skinwalker Ranch. This program that Harry Reid and Senator Inouye and Stevens pushed through, they hit it by funneling the money to Bigelow's research company, Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, was it. $22 million doesn't seem like a lot in a $600 billion annual Defense Department budget. In fact, probably nobody noticed $22 million. But in the 60 Minutes interview, Laura Logan asked him, do you believe in aliens? Bigelow said, I'm absolutely convinced that's all there is to it. And Logan said, well, do you believe that UFOs have come to Earth? He says there is has been and is existing an existing presence. Let me say that without chewing it up because it's pretty powerful. There has been and is an existing presence, an ET presence. I spent millions and millions and millions. I have probably spent more as an individual than anybody else in the United States has ever spent on the subject. So she asked him then, well, do you imagine that our space travels we will encounter other forms of intelligent life? And Bigelow said to her, you don't have to go anywhere. And Logan said, you can find it here? Where exactly? And Bigelow said, it's right under people's noses. Talked about having his own close encounters that he would not divulge, and that he gets referrals from the FAA about reports of UFOs and other weird activity, and that's his Bigelow Aerospace headquarters in Las Vegas. And if you go there, you'll see one of the buildings has the face of ET on one of the top corners. Well, this man is spending millions, probably hundreds of millions of dollars. He just created a, for lack of a better word, floating module that they attach to the space station that they've been testing, $300 million called Beam. And he's also building a bigger space station that will go up in 2020, including a space hotel. So this man is investing millions of dollars, as is Elon Musk. In fact, the two of them are working together on certain things to get us into space. But my question would be, and I would love to be able to meet with Mr. Bigelow privately, and I'd love to get on the Skinwalker Ranch if that would be possible, to find out really what's going on. Because nobody spends hundreds of millions of dollars of their own money unless there's something in it for them. And I'm just going to leave it there at that. But I keep mentioning Skinwalker Ranch. Maybe you're a new listener. Maybe you haven't heard me talk about it before. Skinwalker Ranch is actually the Sherman Ranch. It's in Utah. It's 480 acres southwest of Ballard, Utah, bordering on the Ute Indian Reservation. And over a 50-year period, there have been a number of paranormal and UFO-related and unexplainable and frightening events that took place on the property. When I first read about it in a book a while ago, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, it was talking UFOs, Bigfoot-like creatures, crop circles, glowing orbs, poltergeist, cattle mutilations, I mean bizarre stuff that Bigelow created his own investigative thing, went in there with reporters, with cameramen, with the top scientific evidence. And the book is pretty powerful. I'm going to see if I can get the author to come on and talk about it. Over 100 incidences of vanishing or mutilated cattle. In fact, one calf, I think it was an 80-pound calf, had just been tagged. And then the dog started going nuts, and they went back out to that spot, and that calf had been completely eviscerated, emptied of all its blood and its organs in a short period of time. And get ready for this. There was no blood around the ground. And that's a lot of what goes on there. Invisible objects emitting magnetic fields and orbs and things with red eyes and all that kind of stuff. So there are places like this all over the United States and all over the world, and I have my theories about it, and I'll save it on that, but I believe, just to simplify it, is the fallen and their demonic offspring have set up shop in various areas. They've also have found ways to pierce the veil in those areas. That's what I think the Skinwalker Ranch is. I would love to be able to take a team with all the right equipment and spend a week, couple of weeks, and check it all out and see what we could stir up and get proof of. But these people are spending a lot of money. And this is not, you know, anything new. Whether it's Bigelow, whether it's the government program, you know, Harry Reid was interviewed and he said, "I'm not embarrassed or ashamed or sorry I got this going. I think it's one of the good things I did in my congressional service, and I've done something that no one has ever done before." Former White House advisor John Podesta, whose name has been mentioned here in other ways, tying back to the things in the pit, he said, "My biggest failure of 2014 was not securing the disclosure of the UFO files. Hashtag the truth is still out there." That's what he tweeted in 2015 on his last day in the White House. WikiLeaks and their hacked emails during the 2016 presidential race showed that Podesta had been exchanging emails with NASA astronaut Edgar Mitchell, who's also interested in this, trying to set up a meeting with Obama about UFOs that never happened for various reasons. So there are people, as Nathan mentioned, that are known, reputable, learned people in government, science, private sector, who believe that there's something going on out there, like X-Files says, the truth is out there. But my question then becomes, this program that the DOD had ended in 2012, yet somebody from that program is still investigating reports of UFOs. The program exists. For the last 5 years, they have continued to investigate the episodes that are brought to them by service members, and they're carrying it out within other Defense Department duties, which means it's no longer on the record, even as little as it was on the record before. The guy who ran it was Luis Elizondo. He's a career intelligence officer, senior career intelligence officer. He worked for the U.S. Army, the Department of Defense, National Counterintelligence Executive, the Director of National Intelligence. He served as the Director for National Programs, Special Management, and the staff of the Office of the Secretary of Defense, former Director of Programs to Investigate Unidentified Aerial Threats for the Secretary of Defense. Don't tell me they didn't know what was going on. Don't tell me they canceled this cheap $22 million program because it didn't get anything done. No, that's not true. In fact, Elizondo resigned this past October when he wrote, "Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said, 'Why aren't we spending more time and effort on this issue?'" So he resigned his post, but then he went to work for another company. And, you know, I mentioned the whole nuclear facilities. Elizondo pointed out in his reports and interviews that these sightings are near nuclear facilities, power plants. We've never seen anything like it. And he made a statement I found interesting, and you can let me know what you think. You can write me at supernaturalresponse.net or firefalltalkradio.com, or if you're listening now, you want to chat. He said, "If a Russian bear bomber comes in near California, it's all over the news. These things are coming in the skies over our facilities and nothing but crickets." So who in the media? This is a question. If Nathan says MUFON's getting as many reports as they're getting, I'm seeing what I'm seeing online. Of course, some of it's fringe, out there, Looney Tunes stuff. I get that. But some of it are reliable, intelligent, everyday people. Why is this not winding up on the news except to mock it? And Elizondo said after his DOD career, quote, "I've learned that the phenomenon is indeed real." So basically, he's gone to work with another group. Let me see if I can find the name here. It's a commercial venture called To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science. Basically, they've created an investigative company that has media and other interests, but he's come together with a group of people, and the people are rather interesting when you look at them individually and as a whole. And I'm probably going to run out of time here, so I'm going to do my best with what I've got. So he leaves and he goes to work with this new company. One of the people working with him is a man named Harold E., and I'm going to probably spell this, say this wrong, Puthoff, P-U-T-H-O-F-F. Well, Puthoff was an ESP researcher for the CIA. He was a part of something called the Stargate Project in the 70s and the 80s. He directed a CIA, DIA, defense-funded program for SRI International, Stanford Research Institute, and they were, if you saw the movie, it just went out of my head. I'm sorry. I'm freestyling right here. I'm trying to grab all this information. Anyway, I have a book here called The Psychic Warrior by David Morehouse, who gets pretty trashed by everybody else, but I read the book and it led me to some other things. But they ran a program that used ESP and remote viewing for the CIA. One of the officers, Ed Dames, is out there now and he's still doing it and he's got his own entity. But the Stargate Project was the code name for the U.S. Army unit established in 1978, Fort Meade, Maryland, by the Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, and SRI International, which was, again, a private contractor from California, to investigate the potential for psychic phenomena in military and domestic intelligence. The project got some big push by the military and then was eventually shut down. They didn't really push it that big. It was run out of a old leaky wooden barracks with about 15 to 20 people. And they said it didn't produce anything of value and they shut it down. But in 1995 and declassified it. The problem is they brought in an independent audit. And Dr. Jessica Utes, a professor of statistics at the University of California, reported that the effect had in fact been, the effort had been effective. The data retrieval of these remote viewers was accurate 15% of the time. Now, I guess, you know, they were thinking, well, that means 70, 85% of the time. It wasn't. I've seen the books. I've read the book. I've seen the movies. I've seen the reports. I've seen the History Channel stuff. I've seen the YouTube stuff. Basically, they were using people with psychic gifts to remote view, astral project, as I would call it, to spy on people. And they were trying to develop it where they could get to the point that you could assassinate people. They shut it down in 1995, yet it continued privately under different groups. Because remember, SRI is based out of Stanford. They were the private contractors that ran the company. All we know is what the government wants to tell us. So after quitting the Pentagon, Elizondo confirms that UFOs are real, confirms that they exist, confirms that they are officially documented. He goes to work with Puthoff, the former Defense Department official. He goes to work also on the company with Christopher K. Mellon, former Democratic staff director for the Senate Intelligence Committee. Are we seeing a pattern here yet? And the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence in this new commercial venture to raise money for UFO research. They're still talking to government officials. They're still talking to the military that have experienced this stuff. And according to their press release, we're also planning to provide never-before-released footage from real U.S. government systems, not blurry amateur photos, but real data and videos. And we are inviting our government colleagues and friends in defense to participate regularly with their own findings. Well, one of the people working on those findings with them works at Lockheed Martin's super secret Skunk Works facility in California. That's just a pseudonym for their clandestine, unhampered department. And now Lockheed Martin is the one that's creating the hypersonic military jet as well as unmanned drones. And one of the things that they will supposedly be offering proof of that is, in 2004, an incident involving the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz detected UFOs on two separate radars. And this is, according to the documentation, two F-18s approach. Four aviators see that the object has no wings or exhaust. It is white, oblong, 40 feet long, 12 feet thick. One pilot pursues the craft while his wingman stays high. The pilots are astonished to see the object suddenly reorient itself toward the approaching F-18s, and in a series of tumbling maneuvers that defy the laws of physics, the object suddenly is behind the F-18. So this lengthy event happens off the California coast. They have footage of it. 1 minute, it's 80,000 feet in the air, and then it suddenly drops to 50 feet above the ocean. More F-18s are dispatched. Dozens of military personnel see it, are involved in and privy to the interactions. And I don't remember hearing about that on the news, did you? Oh, by the way, the program that Elizondo quit is still ongoing because a successor has been named to take his place. So, wait a second, you defunded this, but it's still ongoing, and somebody's still running it. Well, this is something Nathan mentioned, and I want to add this to the pie. Since 1947, since the Roswell event, the government has been studying this. The Air Force began a series of studies where they investigated more than 12,000 sightings, 12,618 to be exact, UFO sightings. Now, officially, the investigation called Project Blue Book ended in 1969. Unofficially, who knows? So they investigated 12,618 sightings. And it all began with businessman and civilian pilot Kenneth Arnold reporting seeing nine objects moving at high speeds through the skies over Washington's Mount Rainier. Did I mention volcanoes before? Arnold's experiences were widely reported. Then because of that, other reports of UFO sightings came out, which led the U.S. Air Force to begin their own investigation. Started out calling Operation Sign, and then became Project Blue Book in 1952. So they dismantle it in 69, saying that these were stars or clouds or conventional aircrafts or spy planes, but then they admit, but 701 of them are completely unidentified, and we don't know what happened. If I'm a little incredulous at anything the government said right now, you got to understand, with everything we're seeing on the news, we know that we're being lied to, and we know that if it serves them, they will lie to us. So basically what ended Project Blue Book was this. They bring in, again, an independent group, and they create something called the Condon Report, stating that there's no evidence, there's nothing going on, these are all explainable, and the government shuts it down. Well, in 1974, astronomer J. Allen Hynek, who had served as an advisor on Project Blue Book, created his own Center for UFO Studies, CUFOS, and they continue to look into the sightings and the hypothesis that this could be evidence of extraterrestrial activity. Nathan talked about the multi-state event. They're claiming it's a military exercise. Maybe it was. But when you look at the fact that this program has now been outed, and I don't think anything gets outed by accident. I think they know full well what they're doing. Then you look at the fact that they can't explain 701 of them. Then you go to the National Archives like I did. I went to the website, clicked the link in one of the articles, figuring let's see what the government says. But here's what the government says. And Majestic 12, the secret committee of scientists, military leaders, and government officials formed in 1947 by President Harry S. Truman, is a hoax, doesn't exist. But Nathan, as many others, and I saw the websites, have the documents that before they were stamped hoax, that were redacted. I'm sorry, you don't take the time to redact a document that's a hoax. Then the National Archives can find no mention of the 1947 incident in Roswell in Project Blue Book. Well, how is that even possible? Because it was all over the news. It became a major event, whether discredited or not, whether it was aliens or whether it was a weather balloon. We know it wasn't a weather balloon. I am sorry, that wasn't a very well thought up story. How is that not in Project Blue Book? Why is that left out of it? The thing that created this whole industry opened up the doors to where we are now from 1947. Something pierced that veil. And if you read The Supernatural Battle, you know I tie it to two things. Aleister Crowley piercing the veil and bringing through the entity called Lamb. And then Jack Parsons and L. Rod Hubbard piercing the veil and not closing it when they attempted to bring the Whore of Babylon through. Next thing you know, we start having UFO sightings. We start with the abductions. And here we are. Well, here's where I think we are. Over the last couple of years, we've heard the Vatican talk about ET. We now see the government talking about it. We see all these movies pushing it. We see the media pushing it. We see an indoctrination to prepare us. We know that there are people talking about it, Reflections in the Dark, others, a lot bigger names. I don't think anybody's approaching it from the perspective that we are. But be that as it may, this is not benign or unknown topic. But yet if you go online, you will find people like Dr. Greer, you will find the group I mentioned, you'll find Bigelow, you'll find all these people looking at it from one perspective, then you'll see the Creation International looking at it from their perspective. I think we kind of come at it down the middle. Is it scientific? Well, as Dr. Missler said when he was on the show a long time ago, they're giving off a radar signature, so it must be solid, which I may have some research to dispute that it may not be solid. It may just be two waves bouncing off of each other. Whatever. Nathan's mentioned that they leave a radioactive signature behind. What are these things? What's really going on? Who do we talk to? How do we find out? Is the government going to help us? Are they going to protect us if these things are malevolent? I would answer no. But that's just my opinion. How do we get the truth? Where do we get the truth? What do we do? First thing we do is what we do with SRT is we see, is there any evidence of this that I can tie to the Bible? And if there is, then can I tie that evidence to our belief structure? Then can I tie that evidence to science, geography? Can I tie it to, you know, natural things? And then I tie it all together, and what do I come up with? And here's what I think it is. I think since the fall on Mount Hermon, when the Watchers fell and did what they did, the flood killed everything that had life, bodies, animals, birds, things like that, but did not kill the spiritual, supernatural part of it. Those things existed after the waters receded. They inserted them back into society. They have an intelligence that has spanned thousands of years. Are they backward masking, giving information to the military, to people like Bigelow, to do what he's doing, to get us into space, to open up doorways, the whole Stargate thing? What are they? I believe that in aspects that they are. But then it comes down to, are we ready for whatever's getting ready to happen? 2018's going to be different. 2017 was a time of change. 2018, of which we're only weeks away, is going to enter us into a period I don't think we've ever seen before. We're not in the days of Noah yet. We're in the onset of them. But I think that this information, the fact that they are now releasing this information, the fact that we're now finding out all these groups that are using millions of dollars, media promotion, digital media, to get the word out there, to get you to accept ET, that they're not malevolent, that they're here to help us, that they are your creators, they are your benefactors, they are here to make everything better, is one of the biggest con jobs of all time. And what I would say to Robert Bigelow, any of these people, is you give me 5 minutes with one of these things, and I'll show you what they really are. Let me on the Skinwalker Ranch with the team, and I'll make them come out and play and show you who they really are. Because they are not good. They are not here to help us, and they are not here to benefit humanity. They are here to manipulate humanity. And I think the X-Files has told an element of truth all these years. Yes, the truth is out there. The truth isn't always good. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you enjoyed the topic tonight. 2018, some changes coming. Nathan will be back. We'll talk some more about UFOs. We'll talk about some new things. And we'll just see where 2018 is going to take us. But I had mentioned that 2018, you know, we've been exposing and we've been confronting. 2018 is going to be more of an in-your-face. 2018 is going to be a definitely finger in your face to the fallen. And it's time that we stop playing games. What I'm hoping the Deep Darkness will do, I'm waiting on some renewed funding. Some more footage needs to be acquired. Additional interviews. I'm not just going to dump it and just, you know, take what I have and create something that will not do what it's intended to do. This is going to be quality, and it's going to be done right, and it will get done. Just may take a little longer than I had originally hoped. But we're going to get some more interviews, get some more footage, tie it all together, present the case. But I think that that concept of the Deep Darkness and something we did back in 2011, yes, called the Sea Conference Supernatural Explanation Events, where we bring in speakers, we bring in people from different parts of things, and we confront this as an event to explain what's going on in the supernatural, could find its way back. But it's time for Reflections in the Dark, for SRT, for Firefall Talk Radio, and the whole Firefall concept to do what it was inspired to do. Thank you for that comment. It's time for us to do what we were called to do. It's time for those of us who have this information to work together. You know, this is Hanukkah. We light one candle after another, and if you notice, if you do it like I did tonight, as you get to the fifth and sixth candle, the flames, the brightness of the flames starts to mix together, and this thing gets really brightened by the final night when you have all eight candles lit and the servant candle and all those flames come together. You realize as each one of us does this, as each one of us shines the light, we will expose things, and that's what Reflections in the Dark has been about. It's dark, but we're shining the light. We're going to be here, and we're going to be here for you. I'm Richard Grund. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.